Another day. There are many days I hear my alarm wake me up for school, and I dread getting out of my soft, warm, and cozy bed. I have more than what I need. I'm fed 3 times a day, I live in a beautiful house in a country with freedom, as well as attend a wonderful school. Yet, I don't want to go. Every day I'm walking into 7 hours of learning. Yikes. 7 hours of being bored, frustrated, and facing judgments. In those 7 hours, I have to make sure I don't fall asleep and miss anything. In the 7 hours, I have to deal with people that think because it's a group project, they don't have to do any of the work. In the same 7 hours, I have to present in front of my peers, which makes me shake with nervousness. On top of that, during those hours, there are students that feel the need to make others feel bad about themselves. Supplement all of this to the stress, and you're looking at the definition of misery. Hey, my name is Miri Newton, and I'm a 6-year-old student at St. Stephen's Catholic Secondary School. Currently, I'm coping with plenty of stress with virtual school, overload of assignments, and extracurriculars. With protocols for COVID-19, this causes me more stress. Stress affects teenagers almost every day. Many feel stressed when they have a test, a job, or too many activities. Goals and challenges are another main cause of stress due to the fact that they are hard to fulfill. Stress is a well-known trigger for depression and mental health issues. No matter how big or small, stress occurs in almost every single teenager's life. Teens become overloaded with stress. They may be stressed about school, negative thoughts about themselves, problem with friends, unsafe living environment, divorce of parents, illness, loss of a loved one, family financial issues, and the list continues. When this occurs, it can lead to major anxiety, aggression, physical illness, or poor coping skills such as drug and/or alcohol use, along with suicidal thoughts. Catherine Dewitt conquered high school like a gold medal decathlete. She took part in track and represented her school at statewide girls' leadership program. Additionally, she took 8 advanced placement tests, including one for which she independently prepared for going the class. Expectations were very high for her. Every day at 5 p.m., test scores and updated grades were posted online. Her mother would be the first to comment. I would get home from track, and she would say, "I see your grade dropped." I would say, "Mom, I think it's a mistake." And she would say, "That's what I thought." During the first 2 weeks at the University of Pennsylvania campus, Catherine was hustling. Though, having gained admittance of the waiting list and surrounded by people with seemingly greater drive and ability, she had her first taste of self-doubt. One friend was a world-class figure skater. Another was a winner of the Intel Science competition. Everyone around me was so spectacular and so amazing, and I wanted to be just as amazing as they are. All her classmates seemed to have it all together. Every morning, the administration sent out an email highlighting faculty and student accomplishments. Some women attended class wearing full makeup. Miss Dewitt had acne. They talked about their fantastic internship, and there she was, still focused on this week's homework. Moreover, her confidence took another hit when she glanced at the cell phone screen of a male student sitting next to her, who was texting that he would rather jump off a plane than talk to his seatmate. January 17, 2014, Madison Hollerin, another Penn freshman, jumped off top of a parking garage and killed herself. Miss Stewart was stunned. She never met Miss Hollerin, but she knew the student was popular, attractive, and talented. In a blog post soon afterward, Miss Stewart would write, "What the hell, girl? I was supposed to be the one who went first. You had so much to live for." Ms. Holland was the third of six Penn students to commit suicide in a 13-month stretch. And the school is far from the only one to experience a so-called suicide cluster. As the elder child of a civil engineer and preschool teacher in San Mateo, California, Ms. Stewart has understood since kindergarten that she was expected to attend an elite college. While she says her parents are not overbearing, she appreciates their praise for performing well. Hearing my parents talk about me in a positive way, or hearing other parents talk about their kids doing well in academics or extracurricular, that's where I get some of my expectations for myself, she said. It was like self-fulfillment. I'd feel fulfilled and happy when other people were happy with what I'm doing, or expectations they have are met. On that note, Catherine had made a plan for making her life turn out the way she thought it was supposed to. I had the idea that I was going to find this nice Christian boyfriend at college and settle down and live the life my parents had led, she stated. However, there was an issue of her sexuality. Several times in high school, she had found herself attracted to other girls, but believing her parents and church did not fully accept homosexuality, she had pushed aside those feelings. Her resolve was strengthened when her father sat her down for a heartfelt speech about how proud he was of her getting into Penn and the direction of her life was going. Tears rolling down his face, she said, "Catherine, the reason I'm living is to pass you off to your husband." Suddenly, the glass breaks. A score in the low 60s on her calculus midterm. "I had a picture of my future, and as that future deteriorated," she said, "I stopped imagining another future." The pain of being less than what she thought she ought to be was unbearable. The only way out, she reasoned, with the mindset of depression, was death. Subsequently, she researched whether the university returned tuition to parents of students who died by suicide, and began cutting herself to prepare for the pain. Ms. Stewart had said her goodbyes and provided explanations to close friends and relatives on a pink rose-adorned paper, stacked up neatly on her desk. Her roommate noticed that she had stopped eating after Madison Holloran's suicide, expressed concern, and invited conversation. During an hour-long discussion, Ms. Stewart disclosed how she had been contemplating suicide, yet she pretended those feelings had gone away. To make sure her denial was convincing, she tossed the letters in the recycling bin. Her roommate then noticed the letters were taken out of the dustbin. Thus, she informed a resident advisor who contacted the house dean. The dean insisted that Ms. Stewart go for counseling. She did, and was immediately hospitalized. After lots of counseling, a leave of absence, and an internship at the headquarters of Active Minds, a nonprofit youth mental health advocacy group in Washington, D.C., Ms. Stewart returned to campus in January. When Ms. Stewart's mother came to visit her in the hospital, one of the first things she brought up was the readmittance process. Question. Why am I here? Is usually followed by the equally confounding, how am I doing? In 1954, the social psychologist Leon Festinger put forward the social comparison theory, which considers that we try to determine our worth based on how we stack up against others. According to a new NPR poll administered with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, along with the Harvard School of Public Health, almost 40% of parents stated that the majority of their high school children are experiencing stress because of school. On top of that, the majority of the stress comes from academic purposes rather than bullying issues. Homework was the leading cause of stress. Over 24% of parents stated this is the main issue. Noted, a lot of teens are facing a lot of stress. The main reason coming from is school. However, Let me tell you something that helps me when I feel stressed. As I stated before, I'm blessed to have what I have. A beautiful family, shelter, and food. On the other hand, there are other teens around the world that don't have what I do. They might not have a family to help support their school fees. They may have to help support their family with food and maintain a home. Those children would be so happy to live a life like ours. They would be so excited to experience all the different courses and subjects. They wouldn't take the stress issues we feel as a big issue. For instance, they wouldn't be worried about their grades because they would be so much more interested in the actual learning. Using their perspectives, I try to be happy with everything that I have, but it is a constant battle. Therefore, I challenge all teens who are feeling overwhelmed with stress to reflect on your life from the perspective of someone who would do anything to take your place. Find all the positives to your life and encourage your peers to do the same. Just remember to not take anything for granted and be thankful for what you have. You won't be a teen for long, and this is just a small portion of the many things you will face. So be happy and enjoy the little factors. Thank you for listening.